This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey looking at certain specific ahadith whereby we find some harsh words of the person not being forgiven, or the person not having any iman, or not entering into Jannah. The previous hadith that we mentioned, لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له ولا دين لمن أهدى له. There is no iman for the individual who is not trustworthy, and there is no deen for the person who does not fulfill their covenant. And we stopped in the beginning of these kalimat of la imana lahu, of nafyul iman, of negation of iman and importance, how some people may begin to become extreme. They're taking such a hadith and beginning to apply them upon the masses or the general people, that this person is possibly kharij anil millah, that this person is outside the fold of Islam. And this is not for the awam, the masses, the people, to just read a hadith and to apply it upon people. Because this leads to not just fitna, but fitan wal fasad. It leads eventually to takfir, to negation of person's iman and expelling them out the fold of Islam. And this is only allowed for specific individuals to make that ruling, to make that judgment. And we concluded such a hadith carried the meaning of naqisul iman, da'ful iman, qillatul iman, ma akmal al iman. Such a hadith we speak about certain practices are speaking about the person is deficient inside their iman, deficient inside their practice of Islam, a weakness inside their iman, a weakness inside their hearts. And as this theme continues in the cluster of hadith today that we find, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, thalatha marrat. The Prophet alayhi sallam repeated it 3 times. By Allah, that person does not believe. By Allah, that person does not believe. By Allah, that person does not believe. Qila man ya Rasulallah. Which individual? Who is that individual who does not believe? فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. الحديث من الصحيح of Imam Bukhari. One whose neighbor is not free from one's harm. Wallahi la yu'min. That person doesn't believe that your neighbor is not safe from you, feels that you're going to be treacherous or you're going to harm them or be abusive towards them. Another hadith that you find, لا يدخل الجنة من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. Hadith في صحيح مسلم. لا يدخل الجنة. That person will not enter into Jannah. Harsh words. Because many times we think that certain rightfully rituals and practices are the path to Jannah. ولا شك في ذلك. The rituals of as-salah, as-zakah, al-hajj, as-siyam, as-sawm that we find, these are all ways to get to paradise. But sometimes a person may fall short, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive that individual. But if a person falls short towards the people around them, don't expect or request that, may Allah forgive me. Because حقوق العباد lies between you and that individual. If you've oppressed them, you've taken away their right. So here the hadith highlights, لا يدخل الجنة, that some of us, may Allah forbid, وَإِنْ صَلَّ وَإِنْ صَامَ, fasting and praying and doing good deeds, may be prevented from going into Jannah. Why? Because our neighbors are not safe from us, or we begin to harm or begin to oppress them. Likewise, you find basic ahadith, as you mentioned time and time again, many of these ahadith can be found inside the collection of Imam Nawawi's 42 ahadith. And read the explanation of 42 ahadith by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, Jami al-Ulumi wal-Hikam. Most of these ahadith are found there. These are works that we should be engrossed in reading as an average individual to strengthen our iman. Because when people say, just read a hadith, read Sahih Bukhari, that's not accurate. لِنَا بَعْدَ الْأَحَدِيثِ فِي الْبُخَارِي لِلْمُتَخَصِّصِينَ Ahadith inside Bukhari are for specialist individuals to understand them, to interpret them. For the average individual, you read kutub, books which have been put together to make tarbiyah to shakhs, like Riyadu Salihin, like Al-Lu'lu wal-Marjan fi Muttafaqa alayhi Shaykhan. Likewise, you find the works of Imam Nawawi, his explanation, these 42 ahadith of Jami' Ulum al-Hikam. This is what makes tarbiyah to shakhs. This is what trains the individual, betters the individual. Rather than to read from here and read from there, and have no codification, which is at times a rightful critique. Then how could a person just open a book of hadith and make their own interpretation and say this hadith means this? This is also detrimental, dangerous. A dangerous methodology leads towards deviation, leads towards corruption. For ayyuhal, this basic hadith, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُدْ. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let that person speak good or remain silent. Hadith continues, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let that individual be good to the guest. Even though this comes at the end of the hadith, but we want to highlight what concerns us. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ. Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, let that person show kindness, generosity towards their neighbor. And thus we find the hadith of today. مَا زَالَ جِبْرَعِيل يُوسِينِ بِجَارِ حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ يُوَرِّثَنَّهُ. Jibreel alayhi salam continuously began to highlight haqqul jar, the right of the neighbor, hatta dhanantu, that the Prophet alayhi salam mentioned, I thought that the neighbor, annahu la yuwarithannahu, that the neighbor will have a right to inherit from the deceased individual. Al hadith inside Sahih Muslim. To such a degree, Jibreel alayhi salam is emphasizing as if the neighbor is your family member, because only al-mirath, inheritance, only belongs to family members. So as if the neighbor is a family member, has a right towards the wealth of the deceased individual. Likewise, from this hadith, the beginning of this hadith, mazala Jibra'il, we find that important affairs are always brought down via Jibra'il alayhi salam. The revelation, as we find, brought down by Jibreel alayhi salam, and specific ahadith at specific moments are delivered by Jibreel alayhi salam. Limada, why? Mazala Jibreel yusini. Jibreel continuously began to advise me. Tadullu ala ahmiya, shows the importance of the neighbor. And likewise, you find hadith Jibreel alayhi salam. Study this hadith to discover our iman, to discover what is Islam, what is iman, what is al-ihsan, and what is the last day. These are affairs that we should all be worried about. What is al-Islam? Mal Islam? Because awwal shay tus'al fil qabr, first thing the person will be asked about inside the grave, man rabbuk. Who is your Lord? وَمَا دِينُكَ, what is your religion? فَإِذَا مَا عَرَفْتَ شَيْءٍ, if you don't know anything, and just like the people you say, لَا أَدْرِي, لَا أَدْرِي, مَا عَلَمْ, مَا عَرِفْ, I don't know, but we know everything else about the world. We go out of our way to learn everything about the world, but we don't know our deen. We don't know what to aim. And the strangest thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not hid the answers from us. Allah hasn't hidden the answers. This is an unknown test, unknown questioning, unknown examination. The question is there and the answer is there. So it's down to each and every single one of us to deliver the answer. And the answer won't just be nutqul lisan. The answer is not going to be just the rhetoric of the tongue that we just utter it. We think we're just going to say it. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah will make isbat of قَوْلُ الثَّابِتِ. وَقَوْلُ الثَّابِتِ فِي تَفْسِيرِ إِمَامِ السَّعْدِ هُوَ قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Inside this world, before al-akhirah, Allah will make that person to be established. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. فَعْلَمْ. Have knowledge, have understanding that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when a person has that knowledge, wa'in qasira. Even a person becomes deficient, but that person, you find, that's why study thamaratu tawheed. Study the fruits of tawheed. It's dukhul jannah. It's not something trivial that people say, why are people always emphasize ahmiyatu tawheed? It's not trivial. It is the fine line بين الجنة والنار. It's the fine line. If you fail to understand it somewhere along the line, you won't find the immediate direct entrance into Jannah. No one wishes for anyone to be punished or to go into nar from amongst the Muslims. But ترغيب الناس, encouraging all of us to find the swiftest and the quickest way and the best way, the only way to enter into Jannah. So study this hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, because it shows importance of our faith, of our iman that we find. Amma al-jar. What is the neighbor? The Quran is the best mufassir. That you find ilmu tafsir, al-tafsir al-Quran bil-Quran. To make tafsir the Quran via the Quran. Works of Imam Shaqiti, Sahibu Adwa al-Bayan, some 8 volumes. Tafsir al-Quran bil-Quran, to explain, help us to understand what certain words that occur inside prophetic traditions inside the Quran, what do they mean? وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Commandments inside Surah An-Nisa. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and associate no partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Numerous times inside the Quran. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إلا إياه. Your Lord has commanded, decreed that you only worship Him. But some of us, we just condense, that's it. The strange thing is, continue the ayat, continue the verses and see the whole impact of Tawheed. وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. First commandment, worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after you find وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Show goodness after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this earth. Show it to your parents. Show it to your parents. That's iman, that's belief, that's conviction. Most of the parents, what do they complain about? Complain that the children are rude to them, don't listen to them, argue back with them. And the upsetting thing is, هذا صاحب الدين صاحب السنة. This person is supposed to be person of deen, person of sunnah, and their parents are complaining that this person is rude towards me. وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا. Quran says, be a companion with them in goodness. And the context of this is speaking about even if your parents happen to be non-Muslims. Be a good companion to them inside this dunya, taking care of them. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. Then show kindness. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى, your close relatives. وَالْيَتَامَ, the orphans. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, the poor individuals. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. This is what concerns us. Show kindness, goodness to the neighbor who is a relative of yours. وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ وَالصَّحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. And a neighbor who happens to be close to you, besides you, and a person who travels with you, show goodness to that individual. وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. And when you're in the state of a journey. Person who's a wayfarer needs some help, show goodness towards them. And likewise, whatever your right hand, they possess. Then Allah finishes the ayah by mentioning, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. Ajib. Allah ends the ayah by mentioning, Allah doesn't like people who are arrogant, boasting individuals. You know, sometimes we should study Asrar al-Qur'an, Lughatul Qur'an, that why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end the ayah by highlighting, He doesn't like boastful, arrogant individuals. Because people who ridicule the poor, the downtrodden, the young, the orphans, that's what you find throughout the Quran, there's this theme inside, those are the individuals, they're the ones who show arrogance. And arrogance, that we know, al-kibr, wuqudun nar. Arrogance is fuel of the hellfire. That's what you find even mithqala dharra. Person has an atom's weight of arrogance inside their heart. Once again, al-kalimat la yadkhulu al-jannah, will not enter into Jannah. It's a severe warning. That's why we have to study al-kibr. لأن kibr anwa'un. Arrogance is various forms. You know, a new form of kibr that we find amongst us is kibr al-mutadayyinin. Arrogance of practicing Muslims who look down upon other individuals. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Don't claim sanctity for yourself. Don't claim Jannah for yourself. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah knows those who the pious individuals are. No one can claim Jannah for themselves. No one can then say that I've been promised paradise. I know I deserve paradise. I'll go to paradise. And shun other individuals. And that's why, as we mentioned, read the seerah of Umar al-Khattab. No two individuals, Ahlul Sunnah, will debate about the rank of Umar al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But read through his seerah. He feels that if there's one person left that doesn't make it to Jannah, it will be who? It'll be him. That's how he feels. That's how most of the companions felt. That we're not going to make it to Jannah. Even they were Ashabul Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, they were the companions of the Messenger. And they guaranteed paradise. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah is pleased with these individuals who made bay'atu ridwan, made the pledge underneath the tree. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah knows what's inside their hearts and has purified these individuals. أَيْهَا الْوَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَ. What is the close relative that we find? The neighbor who is near of kin. الْجَارِ الَّذِي لَهُ قَرَابَ. The neighbor who is related to you. The neighbor, الْجَارُ Muslim. يَسْكُنُ الْقَرِيبِ قَدْ فُسِّرَ. The neighbor who is a Muslim to you, who lives close to you. وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ. The neighbor on your side is الْأَجْنَبِ أو حَتَّى الْجَارُ الْكَافِرِ. A strange neighbor, or neighbor with a disbelieving neighbor. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. And your companion next to you is أَمَّا أَزَّوْجَ. Your wife is with you. أَوْ رَفِيقُ فِي السَّفَرِ. Or the person who travels with you. And that you find some ahadith which are ضعيف in nature. But their meaning is true. There's a jar لَوْ حَقْ وَاحِد. There's a neighbor who has only one right upon you. Being your neighbor, قَدْ يَكُونْ كَافِرًا أَوْ مُشْرِكًا أَوْ لَا دِينَ لَهُ, who has no way of life, etc. They have one right, because why? They're your neighbor. You can't say that the person's a non-Muslim, that they have no right over you. لَا حَقْ عَلِيكَ. The person has a right over you. وَالْجَارُ لَهُ حَقَّانَ. And a neighbor has two rights over you. أَوْ الْحَقُّ الْجِيرَانِ. First being your neighbor, or before that, being a Muslim. So they have two rights. Rights of being a Muslim and rights of being your neighbor. And likewise, you find ثَلَاثَةُ حُقُوق. There's some neighbors have three rights over you. Because why? ذُو رَحِم. A person who's a relative of yours. And a Muslim and your neighbor. They have three rights over you that a person needs to take care of that individual. You find ulama begin to discuss the distance of haddul jiwar, the distance of neighborhood, proximity. وَقَدْ قِيلْ أَرْبَعُونَ دَارًا 40 houses is classified as a neighbor. وَبَعْدُمْ قَالْ مِنْ كُلِّ جَوَانِبْ. Someone said from every direction. Whether in front of your house, from behind, from the right, from the left, 40 houses all around you. They all have a right over you. It's your neighborhood. In the hadith of Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, I have two neighbors. فَأَيُّهُمَا which of these two has more right over me? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ أَقْرَبُهُمَا. Hadith in Bukhari. The most closest to you is the one that has more right over you. The hadith continues, حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَيُوَرِّثَنَّهُ. Until I thought that the person has a right to inheritance. How much advice Jibreel alayhi salam gave to me. And this shows, even though this person is not a family member, the immense regulations that belong towards the person who's close to you, the person who's a neighbor. In a hadith you find in Sahihain, just to show the impact, how severe it is of not taking care of neighbors around you, or being treacherous towards your neighbors, or doing something so mischievous towards them. Ayu them out of them. What is the most greatest, gravest of sins? Qala an taj'ala lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqaka. You associate a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the one that created you. Qala thumma ay. What's the, after that? أن تقتل ولدك مخافة أن يدعم معك. You kill your own progeny, your own children, fearing that they're going to eat with you. You're going to become impoverished, poverty. You know that's why people like to highlight that the Western world has its own pretext of understanding of things. Don't have children. You become impoverished, you become in a state of poverty. Have 2.1 children, that's what your life should be, the ideal family. No. Islam is the total opposite. Don't fear poverty. Allah is the one that provides, that takes care. And then, after that, what sin is so grave? And to zani halila jarik. That may Allah forbid that you commit zina with your neighbor's wife. It's repulsive. But you know, in the world that we live in today, I don't want to go fi hukum fi tilfaz, a ruling of television, but what we find in these soap operas and these programs, what does it all revolve around? Study in great detail their ethics, their moral fiber is about haram things, weakening the morality fiber. The people think it's just common. It's blame. Look how Islam says, because your neighbor's wife is like a member of your family. There's an element of trust. They exploit it, and this is part of life. And likewise, we find that these reality shows that we find that Muslim thinks that to participate in this or this is some form of giving us that us being part of society. What does it mean to be part of society? That's what we need to ask ourselves the question. What does it mean to be part of this society that we live in? Some of us have lived inside this society for nearly 50 years and beyond that. So what is the symbol, the benchmark to show that you're part of this society? Is the benchmark to lose your identity? Is the benchmark tashrab al-khamr wa tazni? To drink alcohol, to commit adultery, to take drugs, to be foul mouthed? Is that a symbol of being part integrated inside the society? تَخْلَعْ حِجَابَكْ. Take off your hijab. That shows integration inside the society. Is that what you expect integration is? Is that what you as a Muslim identity believe? That this is the way for me to become acceptable, to do the things that they do inside their daily life, is a way for me to be recognized? If that's what you believe, then you're weak. Your iman is weak. Your iman is flawed. You haven't found the path of iman. That these actions make us to become acceptable inside society. And it's sad that many of the Muslims around us, they flock towards this. They just think it's innocent participation, to participate inside these reality TV shows and to practice what these people, they practice. Gives them an element of dignity. It gives them an element of shame, degradation. You know, inside the Quran, Allah mentions about al-kaba'ir, about major sins. Study the ayat inside the end of Surah Al-Furqan that we find. وَعِبَادُ رَحْمَانَ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ الْعَرْضِ هَوْنَا. Study Ibadur Rahman. What are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah describes them, وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. They don't commit adultery. So straight after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about only obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and قَتْلُ النَّفْسِ, and killing an innocent individual without any justification, then Allah brings that together, وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. They don't carry out adultery. They don't carry out fornication. Which is what? A normal practice in the world around us that we find, unfortunately. If that is the extreme level of rights and regulation a person breaks, and a person has carried out such a major sin, the least that we can do is to look at the average practice. As we began, مَلَّمْ يَأْمَنْ جَارُ بَوَائِقَهُ. Your neighbour is not safe from you. Do our neighbours feel safe from us? وَحَتَّى مُسْلِمْ لَمَّا تُسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ مَا هُوَ مَعَانِي السَّلَامُ عَلَيْهِ. What is the meaning of saying that to another Muslim, giving that Muslim the greeting? Study even that. What is the meaning of that greeting? That this person by default now is safe. المسلم من سلم المسلمون من يدي ومن لسانه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Muslim is that other Muslims become safe from your tongue and from your hand. You're not going to abuse them. You're not going to harm them. Likewise, your neighbor. That when they're your neighbor, they should feel an element of trust, an element of protection. لا يشفع المؤمن دون جاره. That the person is not really a believer that your neighbor goes hungry. Even the hadith is da'if that we find, but ما يقوي, that which strengthens it, ليس المؤمن الذي يشبع وجاره جائع. That person is not a believer that you eat to your full and your neighbor is hungry. Authentic hadith narrated by Abu Dharr رضي الله تعالى عنه, hadith in Bukhari. يوصيني أوصاني خليلي. You know, when the Prophet ﷺ, when he would advise people that he loved, and he in certain kalimat, Abu Hurairah would mention, أوصاني حبيبي خليلي حبي. My friend, my beloved, my comrade advised me. Abu Dharr mentioned, أوصاني خليلي. My beloved friend advised me that if I'm cooking a pot, some soup, add more water to it, and then go out and give it to the closest family members. Go and give it to them. That's what the Prophet ﷺ advised Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that's, you find that some of the Salaf, they mention that even a person comes home, in today's language, with one's shopping, but in the statement it mentions a person enters with some ba'd al-thamarat, fawakih. Person comes home with their grocery with some fruits, either you should have bought some extra fruits to give to your neighbors and to give to their children. If not, you should enter it secretly into your house, lest you don't harm your neighbor's children. Look how Islam teaches etiquette. That if our children come out eating and enjoying some food and neighbors come out, it's natural feelings, that share it with them. But in today's world, it's a selfish society. This is what we're brought up upon. It's a selfish society. That if you eat the aqad, ta'kul bi nafsik, bi wahdik. If you eat on your own. What is Islam say? When you eat together, there's barakah. Food for two is enough for three. Food for three is enough for four. But look how we eat, how we drink, how we live our lives. Likewise, we find that the least the person can do, لا يمنعن أحدكم جاره أن يغرز خشبة في جداره. Hadith Bukhari, Muslim. You know, some of us, we can't even do basic things. So the hadith is saying that if your neighbor wants to put a nail inside your wall, that is their right. There's nothing to get upset about that. Unlike in today's world that we find, this is what the world teaches, that everything is separate. No. If he wants to just put a nail inside your wall to hang their clothesline or to hang something, they have every right to. Because it happened to be your neighbor. Hadith inside Bukhari and Muslim that we find. Likewise, لَيْسَ حُسْنُ الْجَوَادِ كَفُّ الْأَذَى. Being a good neighbor isn't stopping harm. As Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali mentions, وَلَكِنَّ حُسْنُ الْجِوَادِ احْتِمَالُ الْأَذَى. Good neighbor, being a neighbor, is bearing the harm that they give you. That's what a good neighbor is. Is certain things, a person overlooks it, pardons it, doesn't make a big issue about it. That's what a good neighbor is. And thus we find offering food, drink, kindness and welfare that we find is all a source of da'wah. An open and a direct way of giving them da'wah. Why? Sharing towards them that we find. That's why we find if we really care about our society, because let's not pretend this is our society. We live here. We can't see now, whatever it may be, 2 million Muslims getting up and leaving this environment, is going somewhere. Or the 15 to 20 million Muslims living in Europe just to go now, just to move, just to leave. We live inside this society. We're part and parcel of this society. And if we're here, if we're remaining here, what should we be engaged in? What should be the biggest concern about our neighbours and the people around us? What should be the greatest worry inside our heart and our mind? Don't we all have good neighbours? Elderly individuals or non-Muslims? Non-Muslims or even one that can even trust them? That they can be trusted? Islam doesn't prohibit that. And if we care about them, or even we have what we're known as al-tifa, al-hub, even you can have love towards them because they're your neighbour or they're part of your family. La haraj fi dhalik. Because that hub isn't one of hub lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, hub al-ta'a. Isn't one of love and of obedience that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's hub al-tabi'i. As Imam Fudayl ibn Iyad mentions about anwa' al-hub. It's a natural love that a person has. If you have love for them, what should be the greatest worry? وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Inside Surah Al-Furqan. Make a great jihad with them. With it. With what? Abdamir ya'ud ila al-Qur'an. Strive your best to live by the Qur'an. Teach them the Qur'an. Give them the Qur'an. The Qur'an in English, not the Qur'an, but it's some rendition. How many of us have taken the effort to speak to our neighbors about Islam? Give them that about Islam. Then we sit there, we complain about the media. We complain about other people. Why are we complaining for? There's no need to complain. If you live like a Muslim, you behave like a Muslim, you engage like a Muslim, you know what will happen? Because they are human beings. It will mesmerize their minds. It will open up their hearts. Because the media is pumping, infiltrating one thing about Muslims. That the Muslims are dangerous. Muslims are harmful. Muslims are like this. وَأَنْتَ تَجْلِسْ مَعُهُ تَعْكُلْ مَعُهُ. You sit with him. You drink with him. You give them money. You help them. You work with them. You take care of them. You know, if you study the psychology of a human being, it will mesmerize their brain. And what will become apparent? What will become apparent is Muslims are the best individuals. Because that is a person who's there to help me, to take care of me, to look after me, to confide in. The person I can trust. And that's how we should be inside this society. A benchmark inside society. Giving da'wah to people, encouraging people. Most of the social problems, the crime, whatever it may be inside society that we're facing, more and more havoc taking place inside our society is also down to us, qillatul da'wah. Every person is in just living their own life, just living whatever they want to live. No, a person should be there, forth, in their best of their ability to encourage people, remind people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to show kindness and goodness towards our neighbours, those who are close relatives, those who are neighbours towards us, and the wider neighbours, the wider society around us, to lift up this unnecessary blame and tarnish that's placed upon us Muslims, that these are the type of citizens that we are. There may be a few minor percentage of individuals that doesn't represent the deen of Islam. The masses of Muslims are tolerant, peace, full of peace, tolerant individuals, patient individuals, loving and caring individuals, are what we need to represent inside our society.